Way too many first responders are struggling with their fitness, health, and body goals, but you're not alone in that fight. I'm Ted with Fit Responder, and with 11 years experience in law enforcement, as well as being a fitness coach for over 15 years myself, I've created some free resources as well as one-to-one professional fitness coaching for first responders. So I want you to check us out, fitresponder.com, or look us up on Instagram at fit.responder. That's fit period responder. And let's see you there. Chat soon. Thanks and enjoy the podcast.
This episode is brought to you in part by Semper Suave. Semper Suave is a veteran and LEO-owned hair and beard care business that uses organic and all-natural ingredients. Semper Suave provides high-quality hair and beard products that have been designed and handcrafted in small batches with 100% organic ingredients to keep all of your hair styled, but more importantly, nourished and smelling suave all day long. To those who have exceptionally sensitive skin, you can trust that Semper Suave's products are safe and effective at meeting your hair and skin needs. You can experience freedom in the shower with our new Freedom Soap Bars. Self-care doesn't mean you have to turn in your man card. Semper Suave's goal is to serve the people and protect the beard. You can learn more at SemperSuave.com. And don't forget to use PMPM15 for 15% off your order. The Poorly Made Police podcast is for entertainment purposes only. This podcast has explicit content and is meant for a mature audience. The views expressed on this Poorly Made podcast reflect the opinions of the guest and host. They do not reflect the opinion of any department or entity. Nothing on this Poorly Made podcast should be construed as legal or marital advice. If something offends you, I kindly invite you to lighten the fuck up. If you want to support this very poorly made podcast, click the link at the end of the description and become a monthly sponsor of the podcast. Or buy yourself some nice Poorly Made Police Memes merch. Not only does it look good on you, it's also a favorite of wives, exes, children, nurses, nuns, IA investigators, defense attorneys, and the chief. And of course, take care of the fine sponsors of this podcast. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the orgasmic sound of a Crown Vic. Oh, hey there. Welcome to another edition of the Poorliest Police Podcast. I am your host, Lenny. Today, I have coming from an undisclosed location, because we're all about privacy. Free plug for officer privacy. I have the man, the myth, the legend, Harry Thumb. How are you, Harry?
We're fantastic over here.
So before we started getting recording here, we were, you know, I have a little spiel I go through with everybody. And he's running a little bit late. I was running a little bit late. My computer took a shit on me. He was taking a shit on himself. And he mentioned to me the reason he was blowing out his colon was a thing called meat pies, which he explained to me what that was. And it sounds disgusting to me. It's like I Googled it. It looks like the chicken pot pie. And I know Cartman likes the chicken pot pie. I'm not about that. I don't know why I think those are so fucking gross. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong. Okay. I'm just going to disagree with you right off the bat there. Meat pies are delicious. And they also cause their vengeance in the aftermath.
You know, that's the unfortunate reality with a lot of my favorite foods. If I like it, it means I'm going to shit my pants later.
Oh, yeah. It was a photo finish there. I'm trying to put my little girl down to bed, and I'm like, all right, daddy's got to go potty. She says, no, daddy. I'm like, nah, I'm leaving to go potty. This is going to happen right now. It's either in your bed or in the toilet. You make the choice.
Well, I felt bad today because we're out doing some running around and we're at the gas station, and I was out pumping gas, and like, you know, like, yeah, every once in a while, like a breeze hits you the wrong way. And it hit me, and I was like, ooh, and I didn't say anything, and I just fucking went in there and blew it up, and I texted my wife, who's sitting patiently in the car with the kids. I don't even know if she knew I left. It's like, hey, just, you know, I'm taking a shit. And I get back in the car like 15 minutes later. She's like, you know, I was just playing on my phone, and then I looked up and realized that you were not outside anymore, and I was like, he had to go inside to take a shit. And then I checked my messages, and there it was. So It happens, man. It happens to the best of us. But mine was not meat pie caused. I don't know the source of my source of stomach problems, but not meat pie related, I can assure you that.
Oh, that's good.
Enough about meat and meat pies. We need to learn a little bit about you, Harry. What are you having to drink tonight?
Well, I was just in my little bar, and I'm about to bust open a First Call Kentucky bourbon.
All right, I'm
So
gonna have
I
to Google that. Is that fancy shit?
it's better than, say, your Gentleman Jack or Jim Beam or, God forbid, Wild Turkey. But I figured I'll crack this bad boy for this occasion.
I'm not to like shit on your liquor here, but I Googled it, and what came up on Reddit, it was a review. First Call Bourbon, unworthy of my liver. I don't know what his whole the whole review is, but that is it's unworthy of that guy's liver, apparently. But it's worthy of your liver.
It is. And that dude's liver is probably a little punk, so I'm not concerned about him.
So Harry's an email guy. I don't get a lot of email guys, but Harry was an email guy, and I feel kind of bad because I was like, hey, dude, let's schedule a podcast. And then, like, a month later, you're like, hey, motherfucker. I was like, oh, shit. I may have fucked up. But it's okay because he is here now and we're here together and we're going to make some fucking shitty podcasts. But let's learn about you, man. How did you get into law enforcement?
So it's good Lord, that's a lot of fingers. It's something that I've always been interested in. And then the more that I actually went through school, the more I realized just how dumb I actually am. So couldn't do math. So engineer, that was pretty much out. I could write really well. So it was either between being a cop or an attorney. And I actually took it one time, and apparently you're supposed to study for that. So
Really?
that yeah, oh yeah, I bombed the holy hell out of that. And people are like, "Oh man, how long do you actually study for it?" I'm like, "You're supposed to study for that?" Which makes
You
sense
know,
because all the questions, I'm like, "Holy shit, I don't know that."
there was a. So, my agency, you would have to test for, Sarge or detective or whatever, right? And some guys were like, you know what? I don't really want to study and I kind of want to promote. I'm just gonna fucking throw some shit at the wall and just see if I pass the test. And occasionally some people would sneak through. A, B, or C or D, man. You gotta play the percentages. And if you know what? Doing those like bubble tests, especially when you haven't studied, I feel like is a lot like, I was gonna say gambling, but that's not really it. I mean, you take like an educated guess, right? This is
Yeah,
like, it'd be like roulette. It's like roulette. There you go. Perfect. It's like you just take an educated guess. All right. This is what I think. This is the number I think it's going to land on. I don't think it's going to be double zero. I don't
but
know.
you play that zero or double zero every once in a while, you get a little lucky. More often than not, you're gonna lose your ass.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. So, it's funny though, because you're bringing up the whole like, well, I'm not very good at shit, so I became a cop, which is kind of like the joke, right? I know there was a Sarah Silverman skit for a while, and I don't really like Sarah Silverman, but it was on a show, and I don't remember. You know what? I may have to just look it up because it's the reference is probably funny, but it's basically making fun of cops for stupid. Hold on, I gotta find it now. This is poorly made.
Yeah, she is. Her
Okay, here we
politics
go.
are a little out there.
Yeah, they are. She's a little wild. Here we go. Here's a video. Oh, hold on,
Vrbo
an
is for
ad.
sharing all kinds of moments.
Knocking.
That's a little plug for
Being
Vrbo.
on. Ma'am, you know why I'm standing here?
You got all C's in high school?
Oof.
Thanks for playing into the
C.
stereotype, but it's true.
I mean, I went to college, 4-year university. It took me 5, but I graduated with like a, what, 2.2 plus or minus. So, hey, I graduated. That's the what counts, right?
Hey, what do they call the last guy that finished medical school?
Still a doctor, baby.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. So how long have you been on the job for?
9 years. I spent my first 2 years thereabout in juvenile probation and parole. And then I switched over to the university setting. And there I've been for 7 years now.
We've talked to some university cops, and I'm sure we'll get into some of those stories and stuff too. But you had kind of the unique experience, or this is a new experience for you, because you were an FTO, but now you're doing the FTO manager. So if somebody, like if Karen wants to come and talk about the rookies, you're the manager. They're the person that you speak to, right?
Yes.
I think I said that all the fucking backwards, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get you. I'm smelling what you're stepping in. And that's pretty much correct. It's not really a job that I wanted or sought out, but the previous FTO manager was also a shift lieutenant, and he just had so much on his plate that he had to give something up. It's like, well, I'm not giving up my butter bar. So there's that. And then admin approached me about it. I went to refer to them. I was like, hold on a sec. Y'all know how many of my trainees actually succeeded, right? Not very many. And my second question was, damn, chief, like, did I piss you off or something? Or did I do something wrong? They're like, oh, no. Harry, you're fine. But how would you like a day job? And I'm like, ooh, sold. Okay.
All right. So now we got to break something down, though. The FTO is failing is because you were a dick as an FTO, or were you a shitty Yes. FTO? Or okay, so you were you're the old school FTO.
I'm kind of both. Okay. Wasn't exactly very good, and I'm also kind of a dick.
Perfect.
Not out of choice; it's my DNA.
Well, there's some schools of thought with FTOing, right? And I think we'll probably dive into this. You know, I think we'll spend a good chunk of time talking about the FTO thing, because I was kind of the opinion, there's always like very far extremes, right? Where like you'd see the dudes that would get past that they just fucking would not clamp down on, right? Like they are letting this guy off too easy. He's gonna fuck up. He's fucked up, you know. And they would just, well, yeah, and they put him on extension for fucking ever. And the guy's a train wreck. But then I'd also see the other side of the coin, where you may have a person that's going to be a good cop that's just kind of going through a little bit of a funk, because FTO it's hard. I mean, it's a stressful time. You know, you're basically being evaluated, even though you should be being trained. And sometimes people just kind of get into their own head, and you would see guys that, you know, maybe if they got a little bit of grace, they wouldn't have quit and they would be fine cops. So I feel like there's two ends of that spectrum, right? Where I feel like, and I can't say for all law enforcement, but from my experience, what I observed is my department kind of had some pretty bad extremes sometimes, where it felt like guys were getting too much fucking leeway, or some guys weren't getting any leeway. And, you know, basically we had a couple guys that were finishers, so to speak. If you went to that guy as an FTO, you're going to get extended no matter what. Like, you could be sucking super cop, they will find a way to extend you. But most of the time, people that got sent to those guys, because they were going to try and flush them out, which sometimes I thought was unfair.
Yeah, that FTO was more or less where my position was. I was kind of like the last resort. Like, the other FTOs weren't documenting enough to either A, get them solo, or B, get them fired. Well, we know that Harry Thumb likes to write. He writes a good DOR, a daily observation report. So let's put him over there with him, and he'll push him one way or another, either off the cliff or to a solo status.
What is your kind of your opinion on FTO? Like, I know it probably depends a little bit on phases and stuff. Well, you know what? Let's do that. Let's kind of break down the phases a little bit. Right. I assume San Jose model is how you guys would run?
Yes. Yeah, we're in the San Jose. Okay.
All right. So that's what I'm familiar with. I know there's some different ways. And fuck, there's some people that don't even fucking go to FTO, I've heard. But so San Diego model is basically three phases and then test out. My humble opinion, you know, our department, they gave the FTOs a lot of leeway in the first phase. The way when I went through that FTO training, I kind of, my interpretation of that first phase is really until maybe the end of that phase, a lot of it is observation and just kind of starting to get your hands into stuff. What's your opinion on the first phase?
And that's exactly what it's supposed to be. It's more observation than an actual evaluation. And you can see it in their emblem, like the San Jose Police Department's FTO emblem is a progression. Like it's a straight line where you're just observing, and then a slight increase in that observation towards evaluation. And then towards the very end of the program, you're almost exclusively in evaluation and without any more training, because you know the field training officer is giving you everything that he's got. And right now you're just taking notes, seeing how you do.
So it would piss me off, and I'm just going to fucking own this. I would see things that would piss me off in the FTO program, but I refused to put in for it because I didn't want somebody in my car, which is part of that's selfishness on my part. We're not going to dive too far into that. So I definitely, if you know, people are listening to be like, well, you weren't a fucking FTO. What do you have to fucking say about it? You're absolutely right. I'm not going to disagree with you at all. But what I will say though, is I would get frustrated because you'd see people out their first day and they're hounding their recruits for like doing stuff wrong. And I'm like, you know, they just fucking got out of the academy, right? Like this is fucking teaching time. Like, I don't care if you throw a few things at them to just kind of start getting them through the paperwork and learn some things. But I feel like sometimes people get fucked up in the first phase because they're asked to do too much, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, after the academy is over, your stress inoculation should be more or less done. If, say, towards phase three or towards your cut loose, maybe the back end of phase two, you want to throw some stressful situations at them outside of just responding to whatever calls for service, you're just kind of being a peckerhead. I mean, you're just looking for them to go into a tailspin. And then you have to go in there and rescue them from the tailspin that you initiated. So, you know, good job, fella. You've fucked yourself.
Yeah, I know we're dealing with like humans and human emotions. And I know a personality conflict is probably not like a good way to start out. And I'm sure that happens sometimes too, where people are like, well, fuck this. I don't like this fucking guy. And maybe it's not even something they realize they're doing. It's just like, you know, I'm the worst at my job. I can't think of words I want to say. You know, they're kind of doing it, right? They're like not meaning to do it. You know, it's more of their, hey, fuck this guy. But the second phase, I'm trying to like think back to this fucking training class, but the way I remember that, and you may have to correct me on some of the stuff, is now it's maybe like kind of 50-50 as far as the workload goes. The recruit is expected to do a little bit more and get more hands-on with things. Again, my frustrations would be there'd be a fuckload of evaluating, but there wasn't a whole lot of training, which I understand, you know, documentation and evaluation is a big part of the San Jose model, but I also feel like training is a big part of that too. And sometimes we forget the field training aspect of it. Like, you're training these guys up. Yeah, you're evaluating and making sure they're not going to be fucking shitbags. But at the same time, you know, I had an FTO one time. He wasn't my full-time FTO, but I just rode with him for a day. And he didn't say anything the whole 10 hours. What a fucking waste of a day.
Wow.
You know, why aren't you fucking teaching me shit?
So you just sat there in silence? Did he drive or did you drive on that?
I drove and I went to calls and like, you know, we'd have a little bit of a conversation after calls, but it was what I was used to is like a discussion after every single call. And this guy was like real quick, real short to the point. And we'd be driving around. Like I've told the story before, but like, you know, driving around, it's fucking late at night. And I'm like, hey, you know, you got any kids or anything? He's like, no. And then I found out like a year later, he had kids like the same age as mine. And I was like, dude, you fucking told me you didn't have any kids. He's like, oh, I don't remember that. I didn't like talking to recruits. It's like, well, why the fuck are you an FTO, dude?
You have to be at least somewhat personable to even think about doing that job. Because when you're not catching calls time after time after time, there's going to be a downtime where you're either writing a report or just scooting around your sector, just chatting, you know, being present. But if he just wants to sit there and stay silent, like, no, that's not how you do that.
And then the third phase, which, again, if I remember right, that is more a little more like 80-20, maybe even 90-10, where we're doing, the recruit should be doing a lot of the work, most of the work. But again, I'll say it again, like, I still felt like, yes, evaluation is very important. But part of evaluation is good feedback too. So that's good. That's important. But sometimes that training aspect is missed. The actual feedback and actually teaching people shit instead of just evaluating, if that makes sense.
Yeah, your third phase FTOs can be kind of lazy, thinking that they're cut loose, like all you're doing is evaluating. But man, remember, he's still trying to figure this thing out. He or she, excuse me, it's nowadays. But yeah, there's still some training that has to be done in that phase three, mostly polishing and touching up on some weird stuff that's out the box that may not have seen in phases one or two. But yeah, there's still training to be done in phase three. Absolutely.
And then test out. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory, but I'm going to go with a fucking theme here. I still would argue, even in test out, even when basically, and I know some agencies will let the FTO wear plain clothes that week or 2 weeks or however long they do it. I'm okay with that being more evaluation, you know, and letting the rookie fucking, hey, pretend I'm not fucking here, figure this shit out. But at the same time, still you have 2 weeks. You know, the days I did train, which I didn't train a lot, I tried not to shut the fuck up that whole 10 hours. Now, you got to be careful there. I think you could maybe overwhelm people with information too. So, I mean, that's a real thing also. I'm not going to deny that exists. But I try to just fucking everything we did or whatever, just try to explain things. Because unfortunately, you could ride with people for 3 months. They're going to get cut loose in a first week into it. They're going to see something they've never seen before. So I would throw shit out like, hey, I had this type of call. This is what happened, how I handled it, what I did good, what I did bad. I mean, just, I don't know. Now I'm like kind of kicking my ass for not being an FTO. I was fucking selfish about it. But your FTOs, you know, and this is just me kind of speaking to everybody out there that's going to train, is like really take advantage of that time. You can do a whole lot of good in the car with somebody that's new.
Yeah. And a lot of your FTOs are in it just to add that to their jacket. You know, they're looking for something else. They're looking for a detective specialty or for a promotion or for this or for that. Very few of them are like, oh, I'm fine being an officer. More so, I'm fine being an officer and being an FTO for the rest of my career. They're always looking for that extra something. But if the people that you train are shitbag officers, or you're a shitbag to them and they don't want to stay, then you're back at square one. So do the job correctly, do it properly, and you can backfill your whole department, your whole agency, the whole office, whatever it is, so that you can have the numbers to go off and do the specialty things that you want to do. And I think a lot of FTOs forget that. Like, oh, I hate having this guy in my car. I'm just going to be a dick to him, so he'll quit. Okay, well, didn't you want to be a detective in a year? But patrol needs to be filled before we can fill detectives. So why not do the work? You know, put in that effort, because it does not go unnoticed. I promise that.
Now, I just kind of went on this rampage about like, hey, we need to be fucking, you know, treating these new people right. And I don't disagree with that. But at the same time, and I'd be curious what your take is on it, I do believe field training should be for training people up. Absolutely. I think that's priority one. And I don't know. Well, let's start here. I don't know what your thoughts are on this, and I'd be curious what you think. I think some people do need a little extra time to kind of get things. I'm okay with people being extended a little bit, right? I think that's fine. A week or two, 3 weeks, fine. But once you start getting into months of being extended, I think that starts to begin a sign. Like some people take a little longer to cook. I think that's fine. I'd hate to throw away a good cop that needed a couple extra weeks. What are your thoughts on extensions?
So you're right. You're right. If you have an officer that just needs a little bit more time to get to a solo status acceptable standard, that's fine. If you want to give him or her, give them another 4 weeks, great, fantastic. But the other side of that coin is you have to give everybody that same amount of time. Say you give Officer A another 4 weeks, and you don't give that opportunity to Officer B, well, Officer B is going to come back and sue the holy hell out of you. But it's also going to be on the condition of, okay, well, Officer A was making these grades on his DORs, and he was slowly improving. He would have met solo status if he was given this amount of time. Officer B was doing okay, and then he was starting to flounder, he's starting to plateau, and he's starting to slip off a little bit. Why would we give Officer B that extra 4 weeks when he's just going downwards? So if you're showing a positive trend, yeah, extend them. If they're showing a negative trend, we might have to throw them into some kind of remedial training program or performance improvement or whatever the case may be for that. But it has to be standardized across the entire board, the opportunity available for every new hire, not just pick and choose the ones that you want to extend. And that's what people don't realize, is that if they start to remember or talk to their buddies, hey, we got out the academy at the same time, they gave you an extra 4 weeks, but they kicked me to the curb. You know, what happened? Like, oh, I don't know. Well, then they're going to start getting attorneys involved, and we don't want that.
You know what? I'm glad I asked that question, because that's not something I ever would have thought of, to be straight up with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way I look at it is I look at it from a point of view that, well, everybody's situation's different, right? Like, you may have a guy that's just like, holy shit, he's going to get himself killed, and they have to kind of do what they got to do quicker. But I never thought of it from that legal aspect of like, well, we gave B, we gave him time, we got to give A time, and now we got to give C time because we give, you know what I mean? So I'm glad I asked that question. That was not something I'd ever thought of before.
In this day and age, when everybody is sue happy, it's got to be at the front of your mind is, how can I be sued today versus how can I mitigate the litigate, you know?
So building on that, there's a little bit of, I don't want to say controversy, and I've seen some posts about it where people kind of having discussions about it. But all right, so we've established, like, you know, some people need time, maybe, but then there's this other thing we got to think about. But I think personally that you should be training people up. But I also think FTO should also be able to say, hey, look, this guy is dangerous. This guy is going to get people hurt. FTO also should be the place where people are getting taken out of the process. Or, I mean, they're already hired, but getting basically, I think FTO, and I just went on this rant about not evaluating people, but I also think FTO is a time where people need to be weeded out. You know, so the question is FTO for training people or is FTO for weeding people out? My argument would be, I think, an element of both. What do you think?
It is 1,000% both. Ideally, in a perfect world, at the first sign of trouble with somebody, like if they're not receptive to feedback or if they're putting blame on anybody and everybody else except for themselves, even though like, no, dude, you're the new guy here. You fucked it up. If they are showing signs of problems, you know, drop them immediately. Bam, done. Like, we're not going to waste our time, our resources, our effort and emotions into you. You're just done. You'll figure it out somewhere else. The reality of it, though, is that, I mean, everybody's hurting up for people. I mean, we're hurting. Our local agencies are hurting. Everybody's hurting for people. Everybody's short. So admin's like, well, I mean, it was just one minor mess up. Yeah, everybody does that, blah, blah, blah. Why don't we just put them in a remedial phase and we'll extend them a little bit? Like, all right. I'm a document because I'm not winding up in no federal lawsuit sitting next to that dude.
And that was one
But
of the
yeah.
things talking to FTOs, and one of the reasons I didn't put in for it. I mean, one of many reasons. I'm not going to deny I wasn't being my own selfishness, but you talk to FTOs and be like, look, we kept documenting that this guy fucking sucks. And they kept saying, okay, well, we'll just extend him. And I can remember a couple like really crazy cases where like dudes were getting extended. Like I heard of a story about a dude got extended past his probationary period. Like he'd been extended so many fucking times, you know? And I heard stories about people that had, say what now?
That is just maddening. Like, why would you give up that golden opportunity to kick them to the curb without any kind of a Skelly hearing or anything? You know, just get rid of them now.
You know, there's, I agree, right? I understand it's expensive to hire people. I totally understand that. You know what else is really fucking expensive? Fucking federal lawsuits.
Yeah, buddy.
And now let's be real here. Like maybe a lawsuit isn't necessarily the best way to gauge something because people get sued for bullshit all the time. But I'm not talking about bullshit. I'm talking about something like a legit fucking lawsuit because a dude fucked up. I would argue a lot of these guys that fuck up real bad, not all of them, but a lot of them, you could go look at their DORs or lack of DORs. You know, it's interesting. Like I've seen some weird shit. You know, I don't know if I want to tell the story. Ah, fuck it. It's fine.
No, tell it. It's your show.
It is my show. But, you know,
however poorly made it may be.
Yeah, I don't say stories like this to like embarrass people, but it this is kind of an interesting thing that happened. Is there was a guy that he'd been in a special assignment for a long, 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 long fucking time. Very long time, like 10 plus 15 years, right? He comes back out on the road and he's doing some goofy shit. And they basically go to him and they're like, you're going to go back through FTO. He'd been a cop for like 20 or 30 years or something. I look at that and I'm like, okay, well, hold on a second. It's kind of disrespectful to this dude. Like, I realize he's like old and he's doing fucking goofy shit, but he's worked here for a long fucking time. And don't get me wrong. Like, that dude pissed me the fuck off. I fucking hated working with that dude. But I think the way that should have been done in the first place is, hey, look, dude, no disrespect. You're coming out of a special assignment. We're going to have you ride with somebody for a couple weeks just to get you kind of back up to speed. That's not disrespectful. They're not being evaluated. Like, there's ways to go about that, right? And I don't know if that situation ever came up again in my agency, but I don't know. Sometimes agencies don't come up with like great solutions for shit like that, but I don't know the purpose of telling the story. I'm sure it was going somewhere, but I found it kind of interesting with this whole discussion. Are you seeing, so how long have you been an FTO for?
Oh, I was an FTO for 3 years before they dangled this opportunity in front of me. And
okay.
I wasn't necessarily good. I wasn't a bad FTO. I documented all the hell out of everything. But maybe that was my downfall, is because I documented everything. And not a whole lot of my trainees passed.
So out of the last 3 years, do you feel like 3 years ago, and I'm not trying to put you in an awkward position with your department or anything, but the way the world's changed and everybody's short, are recruits getting a longer leash than they did 3 years ago?
At first, yes. But now they're starting to realize the problems that would cause. And they're starting to tighten up on that leash. After the summer of love and applications dropped off and nobody wanted to be the police anymore, we were scraping the bottom of the barrel. I mean, we figuratively are still, but it was bad, bad then. And, you know, we're trying to get some numbers up because people are still retiring. They're still resigning to do X, Y, or Z. They're still getting fired or arrested in some case, but our numbers are dropping. And the only way to get more people is to get them through FTO. So were lines kind of blurred to get them to pass? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And any FTO that says, oh, I would never change a DOR for anything, they're fucking lying to you. Okay? Because they're being told by their FTO manager, who's being told by their commander or chief or whatever, like, hey, we need people. Get these people through the training program. We'll figure it out on the back end. Like, all right, chief, you're the boss. I'll do what you say, but I'm not going to like it. And it's not going to end well.
That scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, it scares the shit out of me too.
Well, and not to like, I'm really trying not to be negative all the time on the fucking podcast, but here we go. Here's the problem is all the problems that like we told you were going to happen are literally happening. Right? Like, hey, defund the police and all this hate and vitriol and shit. Like, I get it. The cop fucked up in Minneapolis. It was fucking bad. Okay, cool. He's in fucking jail. Okay. Burned down cities anyway. There was justice. People, there's fucking justice. He fucked up bad. He's in jail.
Yeah. He'll never see the light of day as a free man again.
All this shit that has happened, you know, we were like, this is going to fucking, you say the police are bad. Look, police are never going to be perfect. There's always going to be a circumstance of cops fucking up, and we should do our best to limit that shit. But cops are human beings, and you're not going to get everybody out of FTO. You're not going to get everybody out in backgrounds. Unfortunately, some people always slip through the cracks. That sounds like shit saying it. I know it's true. I think everybody knows that's true. Shit happens sometimes. The best we can do is keep fucking getting rid of these people the best we can, right? The problem, though, is people don't want to put up with all the bullshit. You know, applications are dropping off. So now you're scraping the bottom of the barrel in a lot of places. Again, I don't say this to shit on people that want to be cops still. I'm not saying every person out there is shitty. I know there's still good people out there that want to be cops, and fucking more power to you. But now you're actually going to get bad cops. And it's going to get worse before it gets better, because you have babies training babies in a lot of circumstances. You have FTOs that went through the academy and went through their FTO period during COVID and nobody was doing shit. And at some point, and it could be wrong, shit will come back kind of to the normal. And they'll be like, hey, we're tired of being fucking murdered and robbed and raped and all the mayhem. Will you guys be cops again? And there's going to be a lot. There's going to be a fucking learning curve to that, because there's guys that don't know how to be cops because they never, and not their fault, they didn't experience some of this stuff. And I personally believe, and I don't know if this is shared by everybody, at least I know in my heart, like where I worked, all the work that law enforcement had done to make that community safer over the last 30 years is a fucking erased. And to get things back in check, there's going to be fucking bloodshed. And I don't say that, you know, to be like fear mongering and shit. But the reality is there's some fucking dangerous people right now that are fearless because they don't fear any repercussion and the cops aren't being out proactive like they used to be. To get the streets back under control, it's going to be fucking bloodshed like it was in the fucking 90s. And I don't want to see that.
Because those cops in the 90s went through so much hell to get it to where it is now, or where it was, 10 years ago, and it's all been just flushed down the drain. I mean, look at Portland, look at Seattle, they're crawfishing already. I have a couple of buddies who went up to work around the Seattle area because they're so hard up for cops. They're like, hey, we're going to pay X amount for sign-on bonuses. We're going to pay for you to move up there. And like, oh, cool, I'll make a lot more than where I'm staying now. So they're already backtracking. They're realizing the oh shit mistake that they made.
But I just feel like it's going to be that cycle where something's going to, and I'm just waiting for it. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. Something's going to happen during this election cycle and we're going to start this all over again, right? Instead of looking at things realistically, like, oh, that individual fucked something up. You know, this fucking country is so big on fucking labeling groups. Yeah. All the cops are like this. No, One dude is like that. Fuck you, you know? Anyway, yeah, sorry.
Do not
you
paint me with that.
You get me angry. You're getting me angry. Mm-hmm. Why did you do that?
It was because I love you.
That's what true love is about.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to the podcast. Attention all law enforcement officers. Looking for a badge as flexible and resilient as you are? Discover Flex Shield by Ghost Patch. Our Flex Shields are not just generic badges. They're custom-made, flexible, metallic emblems designed to replicate your actual badge. Perfect for outer carriers, they come with a durable Velcro backing, making them easy to attach and keep them secure. Looking for a distinguished wallet badge? Flex Shield fits the bill. Why choose Flex Shield? We offer unmatched quality at nearly half the price of our competitors, and we never charge for mold or setup fees. Plus, we're the only ones offering true dual plating, a testament to our commitment to excellence. Proudly law enforcement owned and operated, we understand what it means to wear a badge. Start your custom order today at ghostpatchcustom.com. Flex Shield, the badge of the future. Now you're the FTO manager. What does the FTO manager do? What's the day-to-day for an FTO manager?
Oh, Lord. I show up, hope that I've got a completed stack of daily observation reports on my desk. Get to my desk, realize that they are not on my desk, send out nastygrams as to why the DORs are not done, and then wait for a couple of days until they actually are done. And then they're done very half-assed, so I've got to send them back and say, hey, this is fucked up, that's fucked up, you didn't mark that, this wasn't documented. And so by the time a DOR is done on a day, like say it's completed on a Monday, maybe by Friday it's actually done and approved, just because the people are fucking goofy, dude. They're also trying to pile some other stuff on me. They're like, oh, hey, Harry, we're going to slowly ease you into this administrative life. And that narrative went for about a week. And then they're like, oh, okay, yo, you're a firearms instructor too? Yeah, we're going to get you out to the range with all these new hires. And we're going to get this guy certified and that guy certified. Hey, and this person here needs some help on the whatever line. You know, why don't you get them some done? And oh, the academy needs some help, so why don't you go over to the academy? I'm like, hey, remember, I thought I was tied to a desk, and I'm behind on paperwork. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes that's kind of how the admin life goes. Okay, I'll take it a day at a time, and I just do what I can when I can, and if it's not done, well, I'll do it tomorrow.
So as the FTO manager, you know, looking into DORs, is your kind of job to basically look at everything and be like, all right, this guy sucks, and kind of keep the brass, like kind of let them keep tabs on like how things are progressing with recruits? I mean, is that kind of the main focus of your job?
Yes. I'm kind of a liaison between the FTOs and say the patrol commander, the patrol support commander. Letting them know, like, hey, this guy's problematic. You know, we're probably going to have to do the X with him, either it's remedial or extension or whatever it might be. Or, hey, this dude he's fucking it up. He's going to be a problem. We need to get rid of him. And inevitably, I'm hit with a brick wall saying, yeah, no, we're not going to get rid of him. Try him with a different FTO. Okay, I'll do that. Then, trying to keep the peace between the FTOs, because some grade differently than others, and where for a phase one FTO, the trainee's looking at a whole bunch of halfway decent grades, and then they get into a new FTO for phase two, and all of a sudden they're plummeted. And then the trainee is pissed. Like, well, I was making, you know, fours and fives with the other guy. Why am I only making twos and threes with you? Like, well, this guy's harder. I mean, the life's a bitch. Get over it. Get with the program or don't. But, and I got to be political and play nice, which is kind of difficult for me.
I know that we've really been hammering FTO stuff, and I wanted to transition to some other stuff. But before we get away from the FTO stuff, is there any more you want to talk about FTO or FTO managing or bitch about it, rant about it, or anything you think we should know?
To all the FTOs that are listening right now, you're doing the most honorable work in your department and you know you're doing it, everybody knows that you're doing it. Even if you're not recognized or given gratitude on it, we know it is tough. Sharing your space, sharing your car, trying to teach Deputy Dinglefucker that he's, you know, actually a dinglefucker, or Officer Asshat that, hey, you're not doing too bad, but let's improve on X, Y, or Z. You're doing the Lord's work, gentlemen or ladies. So stick with it and keep it up, y'all.
That was fucking inspirational.
Yay.
So the other phase of Harry's career that he wants to talk about is he likes to ride motorcycles. He's one of those fucking dudes.
Why? Yes.
I'm surprised that's a thing in your arena of law enforcement.
You know, I was actually surprised too. I didn't know that universities would even be large enough to have a motorcycle division. And then I got hired on and saw these guys scooting around. I'm like, oh, well, I've got to do that at all costs. It's amazing. It's beautiful. But mind you, I had never touched a motorcycle. I had never ridden one. I had never so much as put my hands on the handlebars for a motorcycle before I actually went through our assessment to be a motorman, to even be thought of to go to motor school. Never even touched one.
No shit. Yeah. That's surprising, because I felt in my experience a lot of times departments looked and sought out dudes that had some pretty significant time on a bike before they'd even consider them.
Well, our guys were quite the opposite, because police motormen, we ride differently than a civilian. So if you're going through motor school, like half the time you're going through that 2-week course, they're trying to break you of all these bad habits that you picked up when in a civilian riding class. Well, I didn't know diddly shit. I couldn't even make the fucking thing go forward. But eventually I got the hang of it, and I'm like, oh, you want me to turn this way? I'll turn this way. You want me to do a figure eight and two parking spots? Let's do that. So, and they didn't have to say like, oh, you know, you got to be doing this. You got to be doing that. You're riding like you're a civilian. Like, I don't know how a civilian rides. So teach me how the police ride and I'll do that.
All right. So when you had rookies, did they ride on the back of the motorcycle or like in a handlebar thing or what? A little basket?
A little sidecar.
That would be fucking awesome.
Yeah. No, I wish. And that was my favorite. That'd be fucking hilarious. Oh yeah. I'd say, yeah, we're going to get your head measured for a helmet. We're going to get you on a sidecar and it's going to be great. And they're all like all excited and whatnot. And then I'd bring them over to where we supposedly kept the sidecars and say, hey, you're stupid. They were all pissed off. Like, oh man, I thought we were going to ride a motorcycle.
Dude, I don't remember the last time I saw a sidecar. I feel like that used to be a thing. Are people still fucking riding around sidecars? I don't feel like I see those anymore.
There are agencies in the Northeast that do not get off of motorcycles year round. So when it's snowing outside, they're on a motorcycle, but they have their sidecar because there's like ice and stuff. So they need that stability with a sidecar. Now they just put a little tarp over the open end of it so no snow gets inside. But yeah, they ride year round, and there are like police sanctioned sidecars. It's hilarious. I love watching them. They're funny as hell.
All right, I may have to think up a meme related to that. So the motor stuff, I'm again a little surprised that a university would have that type of unit. Now on the motorcycle, are you still responding to calls for service, or do you have a different role?
So because we were so done up for people, our motor division was pretty much absorbed into patrol. So you're responding to anything and everything that you're dispatched to. Before, say, maybe 3 years ago, it was a separate thing. It was a traffic division. So we would go out, we'd enforce traffic laws, right crashes, right tickets, speeding, left turn, one ways, crossing, whatever it might be. We're stroking them for it. But the university never saw a penny of that money. So we had a lot of officer discretion. It's like, oh man, we got to write a whole lot of tickets so we get some new lights for our motorcycle. Like, no, write a lot of tickets, you're just, you know, wearing down the ink in your pen because we're not seeing a dime of it.
Yeah, I I think one of the things, and granted, I'm not a bike guy at all, but I wouldn't like that type of unit in a traditional department because I have no desire to write people a lot of tickets for shit. You know, I'll write people tickets if they need them, but that's I don't really get off on fucking. Look, man, life's fucking expensive. If I can go to your car and be like, hey, dude, fucking don't do that shit again, and I feel like you're not going to do that shit again, I think we're usually smooth. Did I write some tickets? I mean, like, I had some years where I wrote a lot of tickets. I mean, I try to only do it when people really deserved it. But yeah, I like our motor dudes were fucking pumping out crazy numbers of tickets, dude. Fucking insane numbers of tickets.
Yeah. We were encouraged to enforce traffic laws. Now, whether or not you wanted to scratch them a ticket, it's completely up to you. But if you didn't, you didn't. And in my state, there's an actual law that says that, and it's probably in a whole bunch of other states too, that that a department or an agency cannot place a quota on tickets. So, like, my department can't say, we need to get you out there and you need to write 10 tickets a day. No, okay, well, you just violated the law by telling me to do that. I can go make 10 traffic stops. I can go make 10 public encounters, but you cannot force me to write 10 tickets. I can write one ticket a month or one ticket a year. Or not.
Is there a lot of traffic issues on, you know, like at a university campus? I mean, I'm an idiot. I didn't go to college, so I don't know how those things work. What types of things are you looking for? I mean, are there a lot of safety issues on a campus as far as traffic stuff goes? I would imagine a lot of pedestrian issues.
We do. We get a lot of pedestrian crashes. And it's not near what the media would make it out to be, like, oh, this car slammed into 18 students trying to cross a single street. But it's like, you know, little Johnny was crossing the street trying to play the Pokemon Go, and the car came and whacked him. Like, well, it wasn't really a whack. It was more of a bump. And was it a crash? I mean, yeah, technically, yeah. So I'll ride it. But, buddy, get your head out your phone. And we do enforce some speeding on some main thoroughfares through campus. So that's something that we do, try to keep people to slow down and recognize that, hey, there's a whole bunch of students trying to cross the street here. Try not to do 95.
So here's what we're going to do. We have we don't really have poorly made police news today, but we have a scenario. Well, not really a scenario, a story. Somebody sent in, and I thought, you know what? This is a good thing to discuss on the podcast because the story kind of had me in the first half, and I'd like to get your thoughts on it. Now, if I was good at my job, I'd have it immediately pulled up, but I'm not. So now I have to find it.
Well, you're living up to your namesake, sir.
You know, would you imagine how many more people would listen if I just did a good job? But I'm never going to do that. Don't accept
so
that.
I think you would actually lose listeners. I mean, maybe. If it was the perfectionally made police podcast, then people are like, oh, that's kind of boring. But poorly made, that's what drew me in. Come on.
So my buddy wrote in, I backed up some retired on duty dude. He cut the car loose with a warning. I then followed the car for a quarter of a mile and pulled it over again and got a bunch of arrests out of it. Which, you know, I read that. I was like, okay, that's fucking funny. But then, you know, so I was taking that message in as like, oh, he's fucking, you know, fuck this dude. He's fucking lazy. He's retired on duty. And then he messaged me back, said, well, maybe this could be, you know, good for a discussion, reference, you know, the podcast. He said, everyone on shift was cracking jokes on that dude for being a slacker and cutting that car loose and missing the arrest. That officer will not hunt, but he will take a bullshit report for you so you can stay in the hunt. So it all works out. He does his thing and we do ours. These are the things that every shift is made of. If everyone was a meat eater, everyone would stay pissed at each other. Amen. I fucking agree with you. What are your, or not with you, with him. What are your thoughts?
I mean, he's spot on. Your dynamic on shift. I mean, you can't have a whole shift full of go-getters pulling traffic left, right, and center, because who's going to be catching the calls? You know, if everybody's on a traffic stop and you have a blank come out, who's going to go get to it? So you got to have your slugs. You got to have your retired on duty. You got to have your meat eaters. You got to have your what do they call those guys? Fuck, the name can't come to me.
I almost said a bad word. Your fuckheads.
Yeah. I was leaning that way.
Blue but Falcons. Yeah,
every. Oof, it kind of hit me where that hurts there. But no, yeah. Every shift has their Blue Falcons. You have to watch what you say around that particular person. But that's kind of what makes the shift go. Everybody has their own role to play, and everybody should play their role, or that shift is going to get shit on.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is something like you and your shift should sit down and like discuss things. I think it's one of those, it's an unspoken thing. You kind of figure it out. The unfortunate thing is you can't pick who's on your shift a lot of times. And law enforcement is one of those jobs where people have their own unique view on it. I know people disagree with my view on it. I feel like I'm very opinionated on the job. And there's people out there that fucking flat out disagree with me on stuff. And that's okay. I think the walls move a little bit. I mean, that's a bad analogy, but like we can fit some different opinions in on some things. But I think it sucks when you have a shift where you don't have a good mix of people that really disagree on how things should be done. I think that sucks. And I don't know how you really combat that, because the way you are as a cop, I think is kind of molded into you maybe even before you're in law enforcement based on your own personality, but also what you've seen and, you know, the failures you've had, the success you've had, where people aren't going to have the same worldview. Even if you work at the same police department, you may really disagree on how things should be handled, which that's the thing. I don't want to say it's the danger with discretion, but everybody kind of has their own views on things and they may go one way or another. You know, we should arrest this guy. No, we shouldn't arrest. I mean, that's, you know, an example I think you see every day, but I think it's hard sometimes when you're on a shift with, you know, you have a bunch of meat eaters and then no one wants to go handle calls. You know, sometimes you can't control who's on your shift, you know, and you may bid and people bid days off and shit. Like you don't go up to a bid board depending on your agency. You know, some people don't get that luxury, but like my agency, we bid. You don't go up to that board, you know, thinking a ton about who you're going to work with. I mean, it may be in the back of your mind, like, I might want to avoid a few people or I might want to avoid this Sarge. But for the most part, you're going to bid the good days off or like what's going to work with your family's schedule. Like that's probably should be the most important thing most of the time. I know work, you know, your time at work is important too. So you got to look into those things. But when you have that bad mix, it could be a bad year, dude. It can really be a bad year. I wanted to bitch, though, about the guys that don't fit any of that category, right? Like, you have the meat eaters, which those dudes admittedly would piss me off because they wouldn't fucking ever handle calls on their beat. And the way we were is very big on beat integrity, or it was. And they were always doing shit, which is good. But then it's like, all right, cool, man. I'm glad you're having a fucking great time. I'm going to go ahead and handle your sex assault, you fuck. And, you know.
The ones trying to save the world a half a gram of weed at a time. Like,
dude.
You know, you're trying to pad your stats with bullshit. Like, good job. You're helping society.
You did it. You saved the world. At least they're doing something. But then you'd have the milkers. The milkers were the fucking worst because they're not meat eaters. They're not out trying to solve any crime, even if it is a fucking, you know, little bit of weed. They're not handling calls in their beat. They're handling call in their beat. And they will fucking stay on shit as long as possible, or they'll
put themselves on details, or they'll do this or that to avoid fucking working. And it's, I get it.
Yeah.
And some of these, and a lot of the time, in my experience where I really ran into that, there was a couple years in particular, and it was senior dudes that were doing it, right? Story is all the time. Guess what? It wasn't day shift, though. I was working a swing shift. And these guys, like, they've been around for fucking 10 years. And I get it, man. The grind, you know, some had been in special assignments and got booted and were burnt or whatever. And I get the grind of it, right? Like, you've fucking been to one domestic. You've been to it all. But you're fucking everybody else, dude.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to be there, then fucking figure something out. Don't make that on us. Sorry, man. I've been holding that in for years. So I feel a lot better now. Yeah, thanks for being my therapist on that one. I'm not bitter at all. I'm thinking of a couple specific dudes. And like one of these dudes is a fucking nice dude. Like I like the dude a lot. Like he's fucking a good dude. Except when he fucking goes to work. I fucking hate him at work.
Well, Dr. Harry is always here to listen to you. But
that's the name of the podcast right now.
What, Dr. Harry?
Dr. Harry's always here to listen to you. By the way, kids, no need to fucking hold anger about something that happened 5 years ago and you don't even live in the same state as these people anymore. Just saying.
Yeah. Let it out. Go talk to people. And that's not anything in the email that I sent you. Is I'm big into your mental health. Because this job's not for everybody. And especially when like that poo-poo starts to hit the fan, well, relatively speaking for a university, it can do something to your brain. Like you have to have an outlet. You've got to be able to talk to somebody and get it off your chest just so that you can like sleep at night or show up again the next day and not be another statistic of another officer who's ended their life because you know, whatever happened to them, whatever trauma brought onto them. I've suffered from mental health problems for 20 years, and I've been on medication for 15. They've recently just upped it because of the new position. But I take no shame in that because it is what makes me feel better about the job and come home in a happier disposition to my wife and kids. And I'll do whatever I've got to do to keep the peace at the home. You know, happy wife, happy life. Maybe, just maybe, she'll actually let me sleep in the bed tonight. We'll see about that.
One can only hope.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to take away from what you said. Because I do agree with, like, you should go and talk to people. Like, that's, I want to be clear, like, what I'm about to say is not that. I often reflect on my career and think about, you know, what was good, what was bad. And, you know, I have this platform and, you know, sometimes I make memes that are fucking don't have a point and they're just silly words on a picture. And sometimes I'm hoping maybe something's picked up from it. But one of the things that, like, I think about a lot is the negativity of my police department. I don't know if that, you know, I assume it's everywhere based on everybody I've talked to. I assume it's everywhere. And we've all got done with a call and we sit in a parking lot with, you know, maybe just one person or a couple of the guys and gals, and it's just fucking bitch fest. And my words of wisdom, I guess, with that, and I'd be curious what you think, is A, be careful who you're bitching to, because you don't know if they're a fucking rat fuck. B, make sure that bitch session is, you know, it's cool to like let out some steam and kind of get it out or whatever. I'm not saying that's not okay, but if you're bitching after every single call, specifically to like maybe a couple people, it kind of gets old after a while, right? And that negativity starts to like fester. And I've talked about it on this podcast. Like I worry because I'm negative about some things. Like I'm fucking glass houses thing right here, right? I bitch about shit all the time. I'm no fucking better. I caution people, you know, maybe there's a better way to deal with you know, your issues at work, like working towards an actual solution instead of just fucking bitching. Now, sometimes just bitch, it's fine. Do you feel better? That's great. That's good.
Yeah.
That's one thing I wanted to throw out there, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on the bitch session after a call?
Well, bitch over beers, but never, ever, ever bitch in uniform. So bitch to your buddies. Hell, even if you're out drinking at a bar with a couple of buddies on shift, if you're talking shop, which you shouldn't, but if you are, make sure that you're not in uniform when you do it. I mean, have that separation. Don't, I mean, the old adage of shit where you sleep. I mean, if you're just going to bitch and create a negative environment, aka the shit, in the place that you work, aka where you sleep, what positivity is going to come out of that? Like, how do you think this is going to end? What is the end goal of this? What's your result going to be of just you spreading your nonsense and vitriol? No, you're just being an asshole and want to make everybody an asshole just like you. And I speak from experience because I am that asshole. That is me.
I probably won't. Yeah, I'm going to fucking try, though. If I ever go back, I'm really going to try and at least be cognizant of being part of that and not being part of it, or at least doing something, right? You know, using my circle of influence, right? That maybe do something better and find a more productive way to deal with whatever that issue is instead of just the fucking 24/7 bitch fest that is policing. But to fucking circle back, like is famously said these days, to circle back to, you know, talking to somebody now beyond like bitch fest stuff. I brought this up before and I think it's, you know, you brought it up and I think it's worth bringing up again. Sometimes just getting shit off your chest. You know, we've all been in our heads about shit, right? Just fucking talking about that with somebody, a good buddy. Again, be wary of rat fucks. You know, maybe it's your spouse, whoever, you know. You know, if you're a religious dude, maybe you go to the preacher and get some shit off your chest or just to talk about it. Like, I can't tell you how many times that I'll be honest with y'all. Here's some personal shit. I went from a life of being out and talking to people. I'm fucking talkative, right? I'm what's the gay way they say it? Social butterfly. Gay. I like to talk. I like to talk to people. I like to tell stories. Hence why I'm here, right? I get to do that still, but it's like in the evening, a couple days a week. My kids are in school. You know, sometimes I got the kiddo in daycare. I'm at my house alone. Okay. I can only beat off so much, you know, but I
didn't know they had high speed internet in Iowa.
They do, brother. Believe me, it's glorious.
Nice.
But especially in the winter, I'm like, I feel like the fucking, with The Shining, right? I kind of, you know, start getting in my head about shit or getting worried about things. And even saying those things out loud, you're like, oh, that's fucking stupid. Why am I all worked up about this? This is a fucking nothing burger. I think we all do that. Now, obviously not all of you guys, you know, live in a fucking cornfield, the cornfield version of The Shining. You know, you get your social interaction, you get to talk to people, but we all get in our heads. And I'm telling you right now, you got to get out. And the best way to get out, besides fishing, because that's my thing right now, is to just fucking talk to somebody and get it out. Or fucking just say it out loud. Call your buddy, whatever. Get it fucking out. You know, if you're having dark, evil thoughts, go fucking talk to somebody. You know, a lot of people don't want to necessarily go to a therapist or, all right, dude, I respect your wishes there. I mean, I'm kind of in that boat too, but at least get it out and talk to somebody about it because you're going to fucking feel better about it. Like the hopelessness feels a little better when you're having a conversation about it. And sometimes you realize, you know, it's, you know, to make light of it, it's like the, we've all had that time in the shower where we're having a fake argument. We all got worked up about it. And we're like, well, that's never going to happen. Why the fuck I get all worked up about that? That's fucking stupid. Yeah. We all do that shit, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Just fuck it. Go talk to somebody, man. Have a conversation with somebody. I mean, I will do my best. Fuck, you want to fucking get something off your chest? Fucking send me a voice message, man. I'm not perfect. I can't always get to all of them, but I'll fucking try. Like, do what you got to do.
It's not like people call us because they're having a great day. They want to tell us that that they found $20. No, they're telling us because some shit has already happened. And we have to be able to let off our own steam. And these old school cops say, oh, you go to a shrink, you're not suitable for the job, or you know, whatever. We need to try to normalize this aspect of trying to regulate our own mental health. Because we're everybody's sponge. Everybody's offloading their problems onto us, and we're just supposed to take it. Like, so who do I get to talk to about my problems? You know, who does Officer Asshole over there get to talk about his? Or Deputy Dinglefucker? Like, we can't just bottle it up forever. And that's where we get these cops that that go in off themselves, because they just can't deal with it anymore. Then nobody reached out to them, or they didn't know that they had resources that they can go and actually talk to somebody to relieve some of this stress. And that's such a problem. Like, this isn't a big deal. Like, I take meds. People take meds for high cholesterol. People take meds for high blood pressure or whatever it is. You know, that's not the end of the world, y'all. Holy shit. I'm almost done with my drink. I can make another.
Hell yeah, brother. Well, yeah, buddy. Let me throw something out there. And this, I'm not going soft, I swear to God. But hear me out.
Nobody said you were.
Well, it's going to sound like I'm going to. You brought up, like, you know, people come to us, and you know, they offload their problems, and then, you know, who do we offload our problems to? I feel like because of what this is, people become jaded. I certainly have. And remember, you know, when they're calling us, it's a real problem to them. Now, we may look at it and be like, that is fucking stupid. That is not a problem. But it is a problem for them. And let's be honest, maybe, you know, we call our buddy and we tell him about what's going on. They're like, that's fucking stupid. We don't need them occasionally you need to be told you're fucking stupid. I don't want to take that little trick out of the bag. Sometimes people do need to be told they're fucking stupid. But
ooh, yes.
Just remember, when people are calling, it's important to them. So you act as it's important to you. Throw, you know, be a human. Now, I know there's all kinds of caveats and shit with that. But, you know, how often do I know I've done it. You go to fucking call and, you know, like, people can tell when you don't care, right? And you're like, this is fucking stupid. Again, caveat, maybe it is. Don't be a dick about it, because it's important to them. I think there's a way to, like, ground people. And again, this comes with time and talking to people. You can get the point across to somebody that their problem is stupid without telling them the problem is stupid in a polite way. I'm just saying, it is possible. Throwing it out there.
Yeah. It takes some maneuvering, but a clever man or woman can do that. And
I've never been accused of that.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of dumb. I thought we touched on that. But, I mean, people have been reading the nonverbal communication since they were born. They know when you think it's stupid. And you could be coming off of something hot, some kind of shooting, some kind of robbery, and straight into, you know, Mrs. Wilson has her roses growing across my fence. Like, okay, well, this is, in the grand scheme of things, it is pointless. It is a waste of my time. But, you know, Betty Sue over there, it's a big deal to her. So we've got to treat every situation as if that is the only situation in the world, even if we're coming off of something hot. And we're still having that adrenaline dump.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and be right back to the podcast. Oh, hey there, it's just me. Just got a couple quick things for you guys. Wanted to remind you, in the podcast description and on the meme page, I got a link tree that has all your favorite poorly made stuff. You can get to the Ghost Patch stuff that we do together. You can also get the Flex Shield by Ghost Patch. Got our friends Officer Privacy, Fit Responder, Frontline Optics, Revelations Training, and then, of course, a link to my merch. So make sure you guys are checking that out for everything poorly made. And one last thing before I let you get back to the podcast. The very last thing you see on every single podcast is a link. That's how you become a monthly donor slash sponsor to the podcast. You can do that if you love the podcast and you want to help a fella out, or if you just feel sorry for me. Go ahead and click that link to be a monthly donor. Now, back to the podcast. All right, we're going to change gears a little bit. Very soon, we're going to get into my dumb questions, but before we get to those, I just want to throw out there, because this is your podcast too. This is our podcast. It's our little baby. We're going to grow it well. It's our love child, so to speak. Gay. Is there anything that you wanted to take this opportunity? This is really good because I just went on that rant about bitching about stuff, but this is your opportunity. Do you want to bitch about anything? Any rants to get off your chest?
To any police administration that might be listening to this, however poorly made it may be, you know, listen to your FTOs. If they say somebody sucks, they suck. You know, cut that bait and let's roll. Move on to the next one. Other than that, y'all watch out for your motorcycles out there. Don't try to merge onto us.
All right. And then before we move on, do you have any... I'm going to ask you some dumb questions, but I just want to make sure you had no questions for me before we move on.
No, questions for you. I would say that... I mean, you left the job, and every episode you talk about, you know, maybe I'll go back, maybe I won't.
Every third episode, okay? Yeah. Not everyone.
Okay. Excuse me for overgeneralizing. I think the service that you're providing to your listeners, which I'd go out on a limb and say are mostly cops, I think the service that you're providing to them with this show is going to have a far greater impact than you would going back. And I guess wholly like silencing the show, you know, making it slow down to nothing. I think you're having a greater impact on the world in the spot where you are now.
I appreciate that. Okay. I appreciate that. I have some, you know, some conflicts about it. I don't want to plow a little ground, but you know, sometimes I feel like I gotta, you know, I talk a lot of shit here about how things should be. And sometimes I'm like, well, maybe I should need to put my fucking money where my mouth is. But then be honest with you, the other aspect of it is shit's fucking harder than you thought it would be, you know? It is tough, man. And it's fucking hustle. And I'm sure you guys see it. And I get it, right? Like, people don't get on Facebook and Instagram. They want to see fucking memes. Dude, I post about the podcast in Facebook and Instagram, I think, has figured out, like, oh, he's posting about something that's not on our platform. Nobody gets to see it. And those fucking posts, you guys know, have a decent following on social media. Those posts fucking go nowhere. There's still people to this day that say, I just found your podcast, or I didn't know you had a podcast. We're like almost 3 years into this thing. So yeah, that makes, you know, I don't want to blame social media, because without social media, I wouldn't have had this opportunity. And I'm not saying goodbye or anything, but I wouldn't have had the opportunity I've had so far without social media. So I can't blame them for it. I think that would be ridiculous, but I'm going to blame them and say, like, I'm fucking trying, man. So I do appreciate, you know, people spreading the word, you know, and I also, to be fair, and now this is going to come out in, like, not again, plowing old ground. I'm trying to get ahead on podcasts because I got a busy fucking summer, but I don't want to neglect this. So I'm trying to get ahead as we're still in the spring. So this podcast is gonna come out like a month after it was recorded. But I'm also like open to feedback. If people are like, hey, I really think this part of the podcast sucks dick, and not in a good way, like with teeth, fucking let me know. Now, I can't make everybody happy, but I will definitely, if people have feedback or things they want to see or fuck, you know, all kinds of shit. Like, you guys can help me in unknown ways, right? Like, you guys fucking know somebody that would be like, hey, this police business is great. You should reach out to them. I can talk to them about, you know, doing promotions and stuff. Awesome. If you guys know somebody that would be a great guest on the podcast, or you want to be on the podcast, fucking awesome. You guys can do a lot of shit to fucking help me out. You know, sending me fucking, hey, this photo is funny. Can you make that into a meme? Fuck yeah. Makes my life easier because I scour the internet. Sometimes I don't always find the good photos to make into memes. So there's all kinds of shit out there that you guys can do to help. So that's, do it for me. I'm going to thank you guys for your service. And you guys have done a lot. I mean, you know, I know you're a regular listener. I know a lot of you guys have fucking took care, you know, bought shit from sponsors. You guys have bought stuff from Ghost Patch, and you guys have done a lot. So I can't thank you enough for that. I mean, I've had a really cool run over the last couple of years to do what I do, but I need you to do more. Just kidding. Thank you guys for doing what you do. But those are some ways to help going forward. But I also, all right, you want to get personal?
Dude, let's get personal. Let's get into it. I mean, we started off this podcast with Dr. Harry. About my shit. Yeah, Dr. Harry's personal.
Dr. Harry. Okay, Dr. Harry. I had a thought today, and my dad isn't going to be a cop forever. I mean, he probably is. Who am I kidding? And I had this, like, fuck. And this is, like, this is not a rational thought, I don't believe. But I was like, if my dad, you know, ceases to be a cop at some point, that means, like, I don't know that he, you know, had children for one of them to be a cop, but I also feel like, well, fuck, who's gonna, like, carry my dad's legacy now? Maybe I do it through the podcast, I don't know. I feel like, fuck, I'm obviously not gonna say my last name, but the Lennies need to be out there on the job, you know? Like, I feel like I have to, like, I got to carry that. Like, my brothers aren't going to be cops. It's fucking stupid. Like, I say that out loud. Remember I was telling you guys about things, talking it out loud? I say it out loud. I'm like, that's like, it's fairy tale shit, right? But at the same time, I'm like, maybe that's what I'm supposed to be doing, you know?
Yeah.
That's real, isn't it?
No, that's entirely real. This generational policing, it's been around since, what, Robert Peel? So,
fucking Irish.
Yeah, fucking Irish. I'm mostly Irish, so I guess I can eat that too. But, like, I've got a son and a daughter. My son is 6, my daughter's 4. And I ask my kids, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And my little girl's like, I want to be like a fairy mermaid. Like, all right, cool. And I asked my son, I want to be a policeman like you. Like, oh. Buddy, no, you don't. He's extremely bright for his age, and he can do anything that he wants to do, but he wants to be a cop. Like, no. I'm trying to do anything I can to dissuade him from the line of policing. Not that there's no honor in it, but if this the way it is right now, I'm like, come on. What's it going to be like when he comes of age?
Well, and here's what's funny about this whole, like, made up scenario I had in my head earlier today. I don't want my kids to be cops. Like, I won't stop them, but I would not like them to be cops, you know? And maybe that's the wrong way to look at it. I mean, you know, maybe that'd be a cool family tradition. I don't fucking know. I don't know how much that means anyway. Like, what does family tradition mean anyway? I'm not sure, but I don't know. Really, here's the thing, guys, anybody listening. What you really should have learned about me over the last few years is I'm super fucking indecisive about shit. And I put things off occasionally. What's the fucking word? There's a big word for when you put things off for a long, long time.
Procrastinator?
Procrastinator. I procrastinate. So yeah. I'm indecisive and I procrastinate. Now, strangely enough, I felt like I didn't really do that on the job, because you can't. But in my personal life, I do that a lot. You want to hear my I feel like I'm stealing this shit. I always fucking do this shit, but I have a really great story of procrastination. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, buddy, it's your show.
No, it's our show. It's our love child. Also the name of the podcast.
The love child
show. The love child. Dr. Thumb's love child. there it is. That's it. We've captured it. I just came up and I forgot about this. But this is my greatest achievement as far as procrastination goes. This is obviously the story's a couple of years old, but when my third child was born, you know, they give you all the paperwork for like a birth certificate and shit, right? And you fill it out and you get a fucking birth certificate in the mail, right? Okay. I fucking had this paperwork and I'd had it like on a file and I was like, I should mail this shit in. And I'd see it every once in a while and be like, mail this shit in. And about 5 years later, I was going to register him for kindergarten. And I was like, where's this fucking birth certificate? And then I realized, fuck, this motherfucker doesn't have a birth certificate. So I had to fucking go drive down to the office where they do that shit and fucking get him a birth certificate so I could register him for kindergarten. So 5 years in the making. It took me fucking 5 years to do that. I was pretty proud of that.
That sets the standard for procrastination. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
There's an Olympics for it. You got the gold.
Buddy, you ready for some dumb questions?
Always, always.
All right. So this question, by the way, I'm bad at my job. There's some new ones coming, so good fucking luck. But
oh, shit.
No, you're good. I've been meaning to try and prep people with them and then I forget. So sorry about that. Because nobody's going to hear these podcasts for like a month.
Well-made podcast.
It's a very well-made. I had all day today. Well, that's not a lie. It's fucking Sunday. I was enjoying my day with my family. I was like, I should get a poorly made news story. And then it was time to record. I was like, no news. Fuck it. We're doing it live. So the question we're going to start with first is a hobby. Is there something you like to do? You like to fish? You like to hunt? You like to go to glory holes? Like, what is your thing that you like to do to blow off steam?
Well, glory holes, if one is available. In the event that one is not available, I'm a gamer. I love nothing more to be left alone with me and my Xbox and a little couple of pours of bourbon. And
What's your game? Do you have a game? You're gonna say Fortnite, aren't you?
No, Lord, no. I'll hop on with the boys and play a little Warzone. For shits and grins, I downloaded Pal World, and then I'm like, this is kind of fun. And then I realize, this is so stupid. Well, I'll just do this one more thing. And then like 3 hours later, I'm like, this is so stupid.
What world?
I might as well just do one more thing. Pal World. It's like a Pokemon with guns. And it's fucking it's wild. It is fucking wild. I can't wait for the new NCAA to come out. So that'll be exciting because I haven't had that since 2013? I think the last one came out. Ish. I like racing stuff like Forza. I'm a big battle mech, like mech warrior. I'm a big old nerd when it comes down
nerd.
To
nerd. By the way, I've been really lazy with my sounds today. My humble apologies. You know, I always used to joke, and now that I'm kind of thinking about this, I used to joke about, man, I love video games. I have an N64 and a Sega, right? And I don't really play them anymore as much as I would like to play them. But I always joke with people like, if I had a fucking my own Xbox or whatever, I would fucking play video games so often that my wife would fucking leave me. By the way, this is for you. But
dude, that's me. I own it. I'm good with it.
I do the same shit with everything else. My wife hasn't left me though. If I have a spare moment in a day and it's nice out, I'm going fishing. I'm just gonna fucking go. And It's funny, like I talk to dudes and they're like, so you're basically a retired old man and all you do is fish. I'm like, yeah, pretty much. But so the good news is if I decide to switch to video games, I think I'd be okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I've moved past that, but I don't judge people for that. I mean, I think it's cool. So a little while back on a podcast, somebody had sent me a message like, oh, that's more embarrassing than a grown man playing video games, you know, but fucking everybody has their thing. Like, I like video games. I think they're fucking fun. You know, I'll play dumb shit on my, I'm busy now, but like, you know, if I had fucking free time, I'd fucking play a game on my phone or whatever. Like there's like stick figure shooters. I fucking love those. But I'm a nerd, you know, obviously I watch a lot of Star Wars shit. Like I find time for that. So we're all, this is a nerd friendly, you're safe here.
So
this is a safe
space. I know that, that this is episode such and such of season, whatever, but
I think
can
it's
I just
12
say,
season.
Okay.
It's episode 12. 5 of season 12, I think, or no, episode 12 of season 5, but go on.
All right. So you did the episode Order 66 that was released like 3-4 weeks ago about here. You did Chewie and Hong like wrong. You did them bad. Like having them go up against each other in the first round.
That was fucked up. That was fucked up.
Yeah, that hurt.
There should have been a better solution to, like, here's the thing. Remember when I was talking about how I'm bad at my job and I half-ass shit? I literally threw that list together like 5 minutes before we started. That was my fault. I'll own that. I don't know that those dudes would have won though.
I mean, it's not that they were supposed to win. Neither one of them were going to be your best cop. But the fact that you pitted them against each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I was riding in my car listening to that podcast and you said that. I almost hit the car in front of me. Swear I was cursing at you. That was not cool, bro.
My bad.
It's cool.
By the way, you know, for those Rex fans out there like me, the Bad Batch and having some more Rex in it has made me happy. Just got to say that.
Don't spoil it. I haven't got there yet.
Okay, dude. Again, nerd talk real quick. That show is – the Bad Batch is so fucking good. This, I don't know if it's the final season, the season 3 that's going on right now. I won't say anything about it. It's good. I think it's easily the best season of that so far, and I like the first 2 seasons. Bad Batch is fucking excellent.
I haven't started that one. I didn't know anything about any of the animated stuff until I tried watching one of the other ones where they are referencing like Hera and Girl Mandalorian, and I'm like, who are these characters? I've never heard of them before. Why am I so behind? And then I started watching Star Wars Rebels, and I'm like, oh, this shit's actually pretty good. I'm going to keep watching that.
Oh, yeah. And, dude, the Clone War cartoons are fucking great. I loved them. They're fun.
I put them on for my kids, and then like, they get off and go play something. I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, oh, man, this is cool. Like my wife's walking in the room, like, why are you watching the kid show? Where are the kids? I'm like, I don't know, I'm playing on the street or something. I don't give a fuck.
They're fine. They're independent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, independent ish.
What's the best type of sauce?
Sauce.
Like wing sauce? A condiment.
Oh, hold on. You've got me fucked up here. Best type of sauce. That's going to depend entirely upon the protein of which you place it. Like fish, it's going to be tartar sauce. Like chicken, it's going to be wing sauce. Steaks, it's going to be no sauce. S&P is a choice for me.
But, hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, you like that.
That's a good reference, yeah.
Best type of sauce. All right. Top to bottom, we're going to go with the Worcestershire sauce because you can use it in a bunch of stuff.
All right. We got to give a shout out to tartar sauce. Tartar sauce, I think, is extremely underrated. I fucking love a good tartar sauce.
Yeah.
Would you do it again? Would you have became a cop, or do you wish you would have gone a different direction?
I genuinely don't know. If I could go back to my high school self and kick that future Dr. Harry in the balls and say, hey, you need to study harder, you know, go to a better school, study harder in there so that you're not a cop, maybe I would have. But I regret nothing so far. Absolutely nothing. I love my life where I'm at. I love the opportunities that I've been given. Yeah. You know what? I think I still would have done it again, probably with a better GPA from college. But yeah, I'd do it again.
So, with that kind of same mindset, if you could travel back in time and tell young Harry Balls, Harry Thumb, if you could tell young Harry Balls, we're gonna go with Harry Balls. You could tell young Harry Balls that anything about I started thinking about Harry Balls and I got distracted. If you could go back in time and tell yourself any piece of advice, you know, your future self telling younger self, hey, a piece of advice for this policing career, what would you tell yourself?
People are out to get you, but not everybody. So own your mistakes. Be who you are. And do the job that that you think is correct.
All right. Speaking on mistakes, then, what is the dumbest thing you ever did as a rookie?
Oh, fuck. Woo. So, in our campus, late at night. We are tasked with giving escorts to students that need to go from, you know, whatever lab to whatever dormitory or from one dorm to another dorm. It is what it is. I mean, these kids don't want to walk at night, whatever. So this one guy gets pulled over to this one dorm and he comes in and I don't let anybody ride with their backpack because I don't know what's in that backpack. I'm not about to search that backpack because this whole Fourth Amendment type thing, but I'm going to secure that in the trunk, right? So I pull up and he immediately starts to go for the door. So I open my door. He starts to go for my back door and I hit the lock button. Lock. No, you're not getting in the car without with that backpack on. So close my door. And by the time that I had locked the door, he had already opened his. So I'm like, all right, well, dummy. So give me the backpack. I secured it in the trunk and he gets in the rear compartment and closes the door.
I know where this is going.
Yeah. So I had locked this poor guy in my running unit and I go back around to the driver's side and I'm pulling on the door handle like, oh, well, I locked myself out. Let me just get the key because of course the key's in my pocket and not in the ignition. But the key's in the ignition because I'm fucking retarded. And he's looking at me and I'm like, click, 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 click. And I'm looking at him like maybe he doesn't notice what I'm actually doing. Click, 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 click. He's looking at me and I'm looking at him. Like, so we both are staring at each other like we know exactly what happened. Now I got to call for help. So I've got this poor kid trapped in the back of my car. And I have to get the captain, the only guy who can actually use a Slim Jim in the department to come in and get this poor guy out of my car. And he's just hanging out back there. And I'm like, well, you okay? You need some water? I can't get you any. Just want to make sure that you're not dying. Yeah, I wasn't very bright. I still really am not. People just assume that I am. I don't know fucking why. I'm just dumb. But that's the dumbest thing I've ever done as a rookie.
All right. What about this? What is the most embarrassing moment of your life?
Embarrassing moment of my life? It just may very well be that.
Or this podcast.
Oh, no. No, I'm having a blast. Of course, it might be a whole bunch of this first call bourbon that I'm having fun with. Either way, I'm having a blast on this podcast. The most embarrassing moment of my life may very well be locking that poor kid in the back of my unit. And I've got the entire shift cuddled around me like, oh, you know, Dr. Thumb, look at you dumb as fuck. And I was only solo for a couple of weeks at that point. So, well,
oof.
My bad, guys.
All right. So this is another new question that I did not tell you about at all. So good luck. What or who inspired you the most in your life? Who's someone you look up to?
My dad. He's the hardest working man I've ever known. He works for the same university. He works in their athletics department. So I didn't really get to see him a whole lot. My parents are married, still married to this day, but he was always working, you know, working for athletics, either basketball or football or baseball or whatever the case may be. And, you know, weekends, holidays, you name it, my own birthday. My birthday is in late May. And, you know, sometimes our university would host a baseball region. I almost never saw the guy for my birthday, but I knew how hard he actually worked so that my brother and I can grow up to be the men that we are now. And if I can be a half a man as he is, I'd be lucky. He is the standard for what a man should be. He provides, he protects, he's it. He's the guy.
Here's another one I did not brief you on. So good fucking luck. What is the funniest prank or funniest moment on the job?
Funniest moment on the job. So this one's going to be, we'll call it the Dutch House incident. Now, it's not the name of the actual building, but we'll call it the Dutch House incident. So there's a 24/7 diner right near campus, and on night shift about 3:30 in the morning, there's not a whole lot moving around. You go to this little diner and you load up on greasy food, and about 4:30 everybody leaves and go finds their favorite shitter. So this was over a Christmas holiday, and my favorite shitter was in what we'll call the Dutch House. And show up, it's a great building, it's well manicured and very well kept, and the bathroom is always real nice. So go in there and do my business and leave. Unbeknownst to me, that was also the favorite spot of somebody else, and that person had a quote unquote uniform incident happen that shit. So this guy's gonna remain nameless. But that happened in like late December. So the cleaning staff shows up in about January, and they show up to this Dutch house, and they're like, "Oh, why is there shit everywhere? Like on the floor, on the wall? How did they get on that? Where? How it couldn't even be physically possible for shit to get way up there? Like, that's impossible." And one of our guys got dispatched over there. They thought that some bum had broken in and was using the shitter as his own little, like, poo-poo masterpiece. So they're writing this report, and they're going through camera footage, and they see me, and they see this other officer using the shitter. So in the camera footage, you see me just kind of strolling in, like, no problem. About 20 minutes later, strolling out, no problem. And then the other officer, you see him coming in the footage, and he's just ripping off belt keepers. He's trying to undo that belt and just drop it wherever it might lie. It says where it's going to be. And about 10 minutes later, he comes out, and you just see it in his face. The dude is just fucking devastated. Like,
defeated.
I am fucked up. So we'll call that the Dutch House incident. And yeah, they made our detectives division made a help identify poster of me and this other officer, and the whole description was like, be on the lookout for this guy and this guy, this, that, and the other, and other responsible for some of their thing here. And they should be considered armed and relieved. Go fuck yourselves.
Holy shit. I mean, that's some degenerate activity, man. He should have fucking cleaned up after himself.
I think he was more concerned about trying to get home and into some clean clothes.
Yeah.
But love the man. To this day, I take a bullet for the guy. But, like, bro, you kind of looped me into your bullshit there.
That is a fucking great story. I love that.
That was fantastic.
Do you have a dildo story?
A dildo story, fantastic. Yeah, so we get a call about this one dude going into our res halls are sectioned off by male floors and female floors, and this guy's walking around on a female floor dressed in drag. So I mean, we're kind of progressive, it's not really a big thing, but he's like following these girls around and like asking them weird things. And so we're trying to track him down, and we're getting calls from all these res halls like, hey, this guy over here is dressed like a chick, and he's acting real weird, this, that. And I finally find the guy, and he's wearing a mask at the time, full face of beard, but he's wearing, like, leggings and a skirt and, like, a little blouse and everything. I'm like, I think that that time it was 2021. I mean, you do you, boss, but you still have you've still committed a crime here by entering this area without access. And I'm asking for his ID, I don't want to get my ID. I'm like, okay, well, we'll figure it out on APHIS. And then he's like, Dr. Thumb, I need to show you something. I'm like, buddy, I don't know if I want to see that. So we go to his car. And there, right on his passenger side, was this giant fucking mammoth dick of a dildo. Dude, you do you in your own time, but he leave these students out of it. Like, damn. And he was accused of a whole bunch of other stuff in the recent past, too. So we had already known who he was at the time that we made contact. I'm like, oh, it's you. They're like, well, why do you want to show me your big old mammoth dick?
Was he proud of it?
I gotta go to sleep at night. Oh, he was super proud. He was like, no problem at all.
Well, there's one thing to say to that. We all know what that's gonna be.
Ha! Gay! Yeah. The worst part was that he was engaged to be married, like, to an actual biological female at the time that he did that. And she didn't know, and his parents didn't know either. So we're trying to like talk the parents off a cliff, and then the fiance of like calling questioning, like, "Well, where are his clothes?" Like, "Ma'am, I don't think you want his clothes."
I have so many thoughts, but I'm just gonna keep my mouth shut on this.
Yeah, it's fine.
We don't need to go down that road again. All right. The next question I have for you, good sir. What is the proudest moment of your career?
Proudest moment of my career. I respond to a traffic crash. This is when I was still in the traffic division and it wasn't absorbed into patrol. I get out there to a traffic crash and I see a deputy in uniform. Like, oh, that's odd. She's in her POV, her personally owned vehicle. And I don't recognize those colors. What is going on with that? But it's about to pour down rain, and I'm on a motorcycle. I'm not about to get the wet ass all day. So I moved them over to a place with an overhang, and I start to investigate that a little bit further. And this deputy was from a neighboring state. Like, so what are you doing down here in uniform? And she said, well, I'm moving. Like, oh, kind of peculiar, whatever. And long story short, she was suffering from a real bad Alzheimer's. She was about 4 hours away from home and thought that she was still in her home city. And I had to, like, kind of convince her to come back to reality. Like, ma'am, this is not that city. Do you know where you are? Where are you trying to go? And the best that she could come up with is, oh, I'm just going down the street. Like, no, ma'am, down the street is 4 hours away. So we had to get in touch with her agency, and they let us know, like, oh, yeah, she's been missing for like days now. We've been trying to get in touch with her. She's got bad Alzheimer's, and we've been trying to get her back home to her family. They're concerned, but they goofed. So when they put her into the NCIC, the truck, instead of it just being like a wanted person truck attached to that truck, they put it in as a stolen truck. So I run that license plate, and comms comes back like, yeah, that's stolen. Like, and everybody from shift is like, oh, show me en route to the doctor's position. Like, sit tight, guys. I mean, the registration matches the lady and her driver's license. I'm not sure what we've got. We're trying to figure that out. Yeah, she had real bad Alzheimer's, and she was lost. She was a jailer and just had no earthly idea where she was. But I was able to get her home safe. Yeah.
That's fucking wild, man.
Yeah, it was
Those calls are, you know, those calls with the elderly folks that are lost like that, dude, you just never fucking know, man, like how those are going to go. Because there's all kinds of places, you know, sometimes they go to old places, or depending on, you know, what kind of memory they have, like, you know, are they remembering shit, you know, when they were younger or older? Like, where are they going to go? That shit can be real fucking scary. Alzheimer's a bad fucking deal, man.
It's sad. A very, very sad and devastating disease.
Yeah. Do you have any ghost or alien encounters?
There are several buildings on our campus that are haunted. I don't want to say which one, so I'm not going to out myself, but I was still in training at the time. I was in FTO and respond to an alarm at whatever building, we'll call it Smith Hall, and show up to Smith Hall, and this door is wide open. Like, oh, damn. So now we got to clear the place. So we go top to bottom, all the way up, all the way back down. Nothing's going on. Like, well, who opened this door? What the hell happened with that? And so go and pull the footage. And luckily, there was a beautiful camera looking right at this door. And at the exact same time that we get dispatched to it, this door just opens on its own. No reason whatsoever that door would have opened. It's not one of those, you know, push a button and it opens it up for the handicapable people. It just opened. And I talked to the facilities people after that. Like, yeah, that's a zero pressure building. It's not like the air conditioner is going to kick on and open up a door. It should not open like that. I'm like, okay, well, you know, fuck me, there's a ghost. And I go back in the footage to see if maybe somebody left it unlocked or whatever. And I see a news crew walking around Smith Hall. Like, you know, what are they doing? And it turns out that they were filming a story about Smith Hall and about how they were about to tear it down. Well, other things had happened in that hall when they have done similar stories about that. Like, that building, swear to Christ, knows when they're talking about it. And it's going to do some fucking shit. And I was a witness to it. I put my hand on a Bible about that. It was fucked. I was on night shift, and I was stayed awake till like 1 p.m. the next day just because I could not sleep. It had me rattled. It was bad. What the fuck? Precisely.
I'm going to have to edit out the name of that hall, but I got you, fam.
Oh, no, it's not even Smith Hall. There is no Smith Hall in my
car. Oh, well, fuck. I'm not going to edit it out. I'm going to have to edit this out.
Fucker. Yeah, leave it in there.
Leave it all in. Poorly made. Who gives a fuck? Mm-hmm. All right. So real quick, we got some more dumb questions to do. I've been running into this issue, right? Being healthier. I've been drinking a lot more water, and I feel like at this point in the podcast, every single time it like hits me and I'm like, I'm going to fucking piss my pants. And I've joked about like, well, I'll just fucking I'll just fucking piss in the litter box. That's what it's for, right? Obviously, I'm not going to do that. I'm not a complete degen. It just fucking came to me just now what I need to do. Piss jug.
Oh, yeah.
A piss jug. Why did I not think of that? It's so obvious. A fucking piss jug. It's been here this whole time. All right. On that note, what is the best patrol car of all time?
So I've had the opportunity. I'm sorry. It was an honor, really, to ride in a Crown Vic just a few times. But it was like driving a super fast yacht. And she was glorious before we traded her in for some shit Explorer that's ruining my back. But yeah, buddy, we're going to go with that Crown Vic.
You kind of had me going a little bit. I was kind of getting a little worried that you were going to say some other car or some stupid motorcycle or something.
I mean, outside of the motorcycle, of course. But you said police car, not motorcycle.
I did.
Yeah, you had to specify that because you know how to drop that Harley Davidson every time.
So we've been conducting a little research on the podcast. I don't know how much longer we're going to conduct research, but the people need to know, how do you wipe your ass?
So you know the old logo for the New England Patriots?
Yeah. Yeah, with the guy. Yeah, I do.
Well, there you go, buddy.
Oh, that's fucking disgusting.
But is it, though? If it works, is it disgusting?
That's how fucking shit ends up all over the walls. I don't think it was that dude. I think it was fucking you, you fucking degen.
I'll never tell.
It's fucking alibi. It was the other fucking other dude. It wasn't me. All right. You know what's coming. America knows what's coming. Everybody knows what's coming. I've got a cup. What? All right. That's not what. I'm so bad at my job. Anyway, have you ever shit your pants?
Yes.
Do you have a story for us?
Yeah. Yeah, of course I do. It wasn't while on duty. Great duty. But I was on a family reunion, and I was sharing a hotel with my then girlfriend, my brother, and his wife. Now that girlfriend is now my wife, so I'm surprised she actually stayed with me after that. But at our family reunions, all we do is eat and we drink, and it's not like we're eating salads. I don't know. We getting fucked up on terrible beer or delicious beer, and eating just the worst things imaginable. So we get back to the hotel, and I'm feeling it, and my girlfriend at the time is in the bathroom. She's doing whatever she needs to do, taking a shower or whatever. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna trust this fart. And that's all she wrote. That was a bad time. And after she was done, I kind of waddled into the bathroom. I waddled back out after my shower. And at that point, my brother and his wife were back to the hotel. And I'm like, all right, nobody pay any attention to the boxers in the trash. Just don't ask questions.
You know, here's a little sneak preview, folks. I'm going to be taking a trip with my wife. I'm going to be gone. And I think for the first time in the history of this page, I don't think I'm going to post anything. I think the podcast will have like a week off. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I might just post stuff. And I think there's a way to like set stuff to be post, and maybe I can do that. I don't know. I could look into that. But there may be a week this summer where there's radio silence. I'll let you guys know for sure. But where we're going, I'm very afraid that this is the type of place that I'm going to shit my pants. And I may have a story for you guys, but I'm going to do my best to not drink the water. We'll see.
You need to definitely drink the water. For as many people as admitted to shitting their pants on your show, it's time for you.
I've shit my pants. I've talked about shitting my pants.
That's true, but we need more stories about that.
We need more. I got to be honest. Since I've been on this health kick, thanks, Ted, The bowel problems have gotten better. Imagine that. Odd, right? All right. So this is fucking stupid. But so, you know, now that I'm out in nature a lot and I go fishing a lot, I've kind of pondered. I'm like, I'm going to shit my pants out here, or I'm going to have to make a hard choice out here. And it hasn't happened yet. Turns out when you don't continually feed your body garbage, it likes you a lot better. I'm going to go shit my pants tomorrow is probably what's going to happen. For saying that. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you well, put that in the universe.
Yep, it's going to happen. I'll have a shit pants story to tell you next time we're on. Buddy, we've come to the conclusion of this podcast. Do you have any words of wisdom for the millions and billions and gazillions of followers? What does the doc have to say?
Man, y'all, you keep the good fight. Stay clean and hold on.
Well, you guys know what to do. Take care of the fine, fine sponsors of the podcast, because without them, it is not possible. As I said earlier in this podcast, thank you guys for doing everything you do and continue to do. You guys are fucking awesome. And make sure you're checking out the Ship Me and Ghost Patch are doing. We had the Acorn coin, which is recent news now. It's going to come back. It's probably sold out again. Probably do it again. But check that out. We've got some other fun stuff coming out. Again, appreciate the support with that. Make sure you're checking out them. They are my brothers with all this shit. With that said, remember, the New England Patriots logo was a bad logo. You know what? No, actually, I'm going to change my mind. That was a great fucking logo. But you shouldn't wipe your ass like that. And I love most of you.
I beg you. Bye-bye.
Fucking gross, bro.